All right, it's a Victory Tuesday edition of the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Happy Tuesday, happy November, pre-Thanksgiving, it's the 22nd. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com, here with Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan.com. It's a full house with, of course, the star of the show, Ira Kaufman, Tampa Bay's only Pro Football Hall of Fame voter. He's here, it's his podcast, and Ira, as a Chiefs fan, I'm sure the victory by the Buccaneers, the dramatic victory, was a little bit upsetting for you. But I know you're a Bucs fan, and your allegiance can hang out now that you work for JoeBucksFan.com. The scope of this victory, Ira, from your years of experience, what can you tell Bucs fans?
I can tell you that it's relevance going into December, which is a glorious thing. Lee, with all due respect to the great Raheem Morris, I do believe it's a race to 10 now. With the Redskins having that tie in there, that could come into play at 6-3-1. The Giants look golden at the moment, 7-3. They're playing the Browns this week. You figure that's 8-3. Still a chance, gentlemen, that the Bucs can catch Atlanta atop the division. But the wild card route, I think, is viable. If they get to 10, Lee, unlikely. Mm-hmm. They got to win 5 out of 6. Unlikely. Mm-hmm. But surely, they're relevant, and a win Sunday, everybody would be talking about the Bucs.
Oh, a win Sunday, a race to 10 is not impossible. It's not impossible.
Yes.
But I like what you said, race to 10, because it's probably going to take 10 games from a wild card. I mean, yeah, they might be able to squeak in with 9 wins, but there's a whole lot of things that have to fall their way, and that's just not reasonable.
They could get beat out by the Redskins at 9-6-1. Mm-hmm. That could happen if they're 9-7. That could happen, Steve. So I think it is a race to 10, Lee.
That's a good way of putting it.
Ira, of course, I disagree with you on many fronts. We're only a minute and 55 seconds into the podcast. But, of course, the podcast is presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. These season's best events, Ira, at your proud sponsor, fantastic. I encourage everybody to go to EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com. And EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com.
It's holiday time, Steve. The deals must be unbelievable.
Well, the deals are always fantastic at Ed Morris Cadillac. But yes, of course, I don't think it's a stretch to say this is a great time of year to buy a vehicle. Right now, during the season's best event, choose from our best selection of Cadillacs and drive for 0%. That's 0% interest, Ira.
Zero.
For 60 months. And that's it. It's fantastic. Select models. Approved credit, fantastic. Check it out. EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com and EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com. Now, Ira, look.
You can't wait to disagree with me here, Steve.
Well,
you can't wait.
I'm trying to inject some reality here. You're a man of numbers. You're a pragmatist. Ira, we're one game back of Atlanta. One game.
Correct.
Okay? We have a good record in the division, conference. We're one game back. That's our path to the playoffs here. We're two games back of the Giants. We're two games in the loss column back of the Redskins.
That's correct.
So, I mean, the path to the playoffs is right through this division and winning it. So that's where the focus is. I think it's going to take 10 games, maybe 9 games with tiebreakers. I pegged Atlanta as a 9-win team, but I think a wild card's a pipe dream. I don't think that's going to happen.
Unfortunately, Steve, I don't think Atlanta's schedule is that challenging down the stretch. They play Carolina, which may not have much to play for at that time. They don't play the Bucs anymore. I just don't think the Falcons' schedule is that difficult. And the Bucs have Seattle dead ahead, Steve. That's a tough one.
Yeah, it's a tough one. But we'll see. I'm just saying, I think for the fans' purposes, my own opinion, I think the division is where it's at.
You want to win a division? I just want to get out of the basement, gentlemen. that 5-year lease, Steve, that you love me to talk about, that 5-year lease on the NFC South.
So now, Ira, of course, again, this is your podcast, your brilliant podcast. Yes, big win for the Bucs, but the scope here for the Tealy, I want you to go a little deeper.
I thought they played great. I am a Chiefs fan, Lee, going back about 50 years. 1966, the Chiefs won the AFL title, lost that Super Bowl I to Green Bay. That was Dawson, in his prime, and the boys. The Raiders were their main rivals. 50 years of following the Chiefs, Lee. Now, it's been a vast wasteland, may I say, since Super Bowl IV. They've done nothing as a franchise since 1970, Steve. Very, very little, the Chiefs. I thought the Bucs deserved that win. Top to bottom, Lee, I thought there was zero fluky about it. I thought they outplayed them. The disparity in third downs was enormous. The Buck pass protection was tremendous. Having said all that, they almost lost the game. But the Chiefs are very tough at Arrowhead, Lee.
And they're a division-winning or leading team as well.
I think they left the Chiefs stunned. They left the Chiefs fans stunned. And it was a heck of a win. And this would be even a better win, even though they're playing at home. Seattle's better than Kansas City.
This could be a franchise-changing win, a Seattle win. My gosh. I want to ask you a couple of questions before I ask your input on something that Steve and I discussed over beers and barbecue Sunday evening.
Well, whatever I say, Isbitz is going to disagree, but I understand that going in.
Okay. First, I got to ask you a couple of things here about the Chiefs. That you go back so many years. Do you still have your Bill Kenny dartboard?
You know, Bill Kenny, Lee, 1 year, I believe he threw for 4,000 yards.
The Josh Freeman of his
era. The next
year
he got picked off 4,000 times. But, you know, the Chiefs have here's the funny thing about the Chiefs, and Chief fans will know what I mean. There's been a few times, Steve, where they've been the number one seed in the AFC and lost their first playoff game.
Marty Schottenheimer.
I believe they lost to Jim Harbaugh and the Colts.
Yes.
When they had a much better team than Indy.
At home,
much
at night.
At home. And then they lost to a very good Denver team that won the Denver 2 Super Bowl teams.
And Manning didn't.
And it was
Manning,
a very tough game.
Didn't Manning beat him one time?
And Manning beat him one time in a shootout. There were no punts in the game, Steve. It was 38-31. I was at that game. Yes, I was. Yes, I was.
Now, here's another one for you. Do you have a moth-eaten, in your Newport Richey estate, you have a moth-eaten Ed Podolak jersey somewhere in the attic?
Ed Podolak had one of the greatest postseason games in NFL history.
Is that the double overtime?
And of course, it came in a loss. and I'm going to throw this out at you two gentlemen. I've said this before, and it's a very dramatic statement, but that's what this podcast is all about, gentlemen.
Is it about statements
and
or drama?
I'm going to say it again, and you guys are not going to believe it. Well, when you think about it, you're going to realize how pithy, there's your word for today. It is. The double overtime loss on Christmas Day, 71, still the longest game ever played in the NFL. Gentlemen, no game in NFL history. And when I start a sentence like that, Isbitz knows it's going to be good. No game in NFL history took more out of a franchise, a loss, out of a franchise than that game did to the Kansas City Chiefs.
They were
for the next 15 years, they were irrelevant.
Yeah, they were irrelevant for at least 15 years, maybe 20.
That was Hank Stram's last stand. It was Len Dawson's last stand. Buck Buchanan, Bobby Bell. That was it. It was the last game ever played at Municipal Stadium.
Yes,
they
it was.
They moved into Arrowhead. They've never been the same since.
And give me an idea how old I am, just to date myself. That's the first football game I vividly remember.
Wow.
That's the first football game I vividly remember.
You mean
Christmas Day.
You put down the turkey leg and watched that game at the camper?
I remember it vividly. It was a Christmas Day game.
And then Miami went out and got smoked by Dallas in the Super Bowl. But the next year, they were perfect.
Ira, only you.
Only me.
Only you could be so passionate about
Ed Podolak.
The 71 Chiefs.
Well, I had Elmo Wright. He would do the little war dance.
That's right. He did, didn't he?
Unbelievable. Now, granted, for that game, I was still crapping in my diaper.
But, Steve, let's get back to my point. The Bucks played a whale of a game Sunday.
There was
nothing fluky about that win.
Well, here's I was going to ask you your input on this. Steve and I, it's about the way the Bucks play. And I've stated this more than a few times. I've written this a couple times. That I think Dirk Cutter is squeezing blood out of a turnip. If you look at points scored in the NFL, and this is prior to Sunday's game, the Bucks scored more points this year than the Pittsburgh Steelers, Arizona Cardinals, Seattle Seahawks, Kansas City Chiefs.
That's correct.
All five of those teams, with the possible exception of the Chiefs, those teams have far more better weapons than the Bucks have. And the Bucks are playing with used parts from a junkyard. Now, I also wrote this in once, and I forgot about it. And Steve, Steve and I were talking about this, and Steve was basically wanting to slap me around. Like, don't you remember what you write? I said, what are you talking about? And Steve said, Lee, you have always written, a good quarterback makes players better. And Steve thought that's what Winston's doing. It's not so much Cutter. It's Winston's growing as a quarterback, making the Freddie Martino and his band of renown a better player.
As much as I'd love to disagree with his bits, he's got a strong point. Certainly, you had a lot of evidence out there on Sunday, Steve,
Let me just clarify.
Now, we're not going to put him in the Brady-Drew Brees category.
Of course not.
Because I think those two guys are the masters that the receivers change every year, except for Gronkowski, of course.
Well, let me just clarify.
It doesn't matter who they're throwing to.
Oh, Gronkowski's hurt, too.
Before you get on a roll, I want to clarify. Lee's correct in presenting what I was saying, but really the core of what I was saying is that this is not blood from a turnip, because we have an excellent quarterback, period. And when you the core and the heart of any turnip, if we're going to refer to an offense as a turnip, is the quarterback. So we have a great quarterback. So I don't see it that way. The quarterback runs the ship. He's the engine of this.
Are you ready to use the word great, Isbit? Did I hear the word great, or did I hear emerging?
If you're better than average, which Jameis has been this year, better than average in the across the NFL, I think you can get the great label for now. Right now, we're looking at a 10-game window. Jameis has been great, top 10 in the NFL, I think.
Would you put him over Derek Carr, Mr. DeKemper, at this point, ahead of Philip Rivers at this
point? Philip Rivers, yes. Carr, no. Carr's been pretty consistently good. Jameis, last few games, has been very good. We both saw the Rams game where he missed open. Vincent Jackson, for example, would have won the game. Obviously, the Denver game where he forced.
He's only thrown two picks since the Denver game, Steve. That is impressive. He's only thrown two picks, I believe, since then.
And one should have been caught, Cecil Shorts.
So to go to Leeds, since I cut you off to clarify, what do you think, Ira? Is this Jameis Winston leading the troops and getting the most out of this offense?
I think Cutter's a very good play caller. Mm-hmm. Lee, he's a very good play caller. I mean, we got to give him credit. We've seen him 26 games now. The guy mixes it up very well. Early in the year, he had no running game. The guy's got to throw 45 passes. We didn't like it. Mm-hmm. We didn't think that was a formula to win. But when you're, you know, running into a brick wall, Steve, and getting 2.3 yards a carry, what are you going to do? The balance, I thought, was extraordinary on Sunday. The screen passes generally work. Mm-hmm. Now, Evans is a stud. Steve, even you, you're a Jameis maniac here, but Evans is now approaching. He's approaching Antonio Brown, Julio Jones status.
He's getting there.
Mm-hmm. He's getting there. And that catch he made, his last catch that sealed
clutch.
The game, clutch, mm-hmm. right in front of a raucous Bucks bench. I mean, that was a thing of beauty. Winston played great, Steve. Winston played fabulous. Cutter went out of his way, and Cutter doesn't give that kind of praise out. I thought he got great protection. Gentlemen, you can't argue with me on that. But he played fabulous, and he's playing very well, Steve. He reminds me of after the Carolina game last year in week four. Lee, he looked like a different quarterback.
Yes.
And maybe things changed after the Denver game. He looks like a different quarterback. People were down on him. A month or 6 weeks ago, you were trying to defend him.
I was trying to defend him. I know Lee was very much in the sophomore slump category. The evidence was there, but I couldn't go there. I believe. but here's something.
Sound like you're in a cult right now. You're in the David Koresh cult over there?
David Koresh.
Well, my drink is finished.
Christy and David Koresh. That's too good.
David Koresh is the good one. You're going to be hard to hop.
It's tough to top that one, though, Steve.
All right.
David Koresh.
So we're here on the Ira Kaufman podcast, presented as always by Ed Moore's Cadillac Tampa and Ed Moore's Cadillac Brandon. And well, Ira,
let's talk a little defense.
Yeah, but I got to disagree on Jameis. I think you're off the mark here, Ira.
Well, you're telling
the listeners, the beautiful JoeBucksFan.com listeners, that there was such great balance against the Chiefs in the offense. Okay, it's a great balance. Jameis threw 39 times against the Chiefs. How often does that happen, Mr. Kaufman?
I believe they ran 34 times.
They ran 34 times.
That's good balance.
But six out of the last seven Bucks snaps were runs. So if we take those out, because they're killing
it is bits with the analytics over here, DeKemper.
So
what am I dealing with?
So
over
they're
here?
They're killing the clock there, Ira. Okay. So if we
you should be working for ESPN Science
if we take that out, that's 33 runs. No, excuse me.
That's
28 runs and 38 passes. If you look at five of those runs where Winston scrambles off passes, that's not balanced.
I can't deal with somebody who's breaking up the stats like this, DeKemper.
You know what that is,
Ira?
That's the team turning the ball over to Jameis and say, go win this thing because Doug Martin can't run the ball right now, and we got no running game. And he did it. Early in the season, he couldn't do it. Now he's a hero.
He played an outstanding game, DeKemper. Now, I'm not putting him in the Pro Bowl off one outstanding effort. Mm-hmm. He's had a good season, a little bit of an uneven season.
Uneven.
But he's on a roll. And he peaked at Arrowhead against a good defense.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if he does it again against Michael Bennett, Earl Thomas, and you know, Earl Thomas is banged up.
I was
going to
say, I think he may be out. Know,
but they got Sherman, and they got Chancellor, and they got Bennett maybe back for this game. Mm-hmm. He's not going to miss a chance to play against the Bucks.
I'm sure he's chomping at the bit because he's probably still PO'd that let him go. He wanted to stay
and
here.
And I can just see his bits going into the Seattle locker room after the game. You can see right there.
It is without question one of the most profound, ignorant, short-sighted, stupid moves this franchise has ever made.
Oh, you're knocking the rock star general manager over here, Lee?
I don't know if it was him, from what I hear.
Ownership could have played a role in that.
Of course, we're talking about the release of Michael Bennett. Excuse me, not the release. Deciding not to re-sign Michael Bennett after the 2013 season when
there was
he
was financial
was
element
dominant.
To it, Lee. There was.
Yeah, because they thought he was damaged goods, but that's why you have an injury clause in there. I mean, for a team at that time, they were whining and complaining and kvetching that they didn't have a pass rush. And you had a guy with 9 sacks, a guy that played stout run defense, and you let him walk away? That is incomprehensible to me.
His versatility is outstanding, Steve. He plays inside and outside.
Did you see Tom Brady said he's the best defensive player in the NFL?
I did see that. I did see it. Now back to your Jameis Winston nonsense there.
So are you going to back off your balance?
I'm not going to back off.
Not backing off
I'm
the balance.
I'm not backing off. I thought Cutter called a very good game.
He did.
Which he does. Consistently, you know, they're not going to gain 6,000 yards this year like they did last year because Doug Martin's not going to get 1,400.
Correct.
I understand that. But they still have a very representative offense. And as Lee mentioned, you know, they're averaging more points than a lot of these top-notch teams with better overall talent and equal quarterbacks. Equal quarterback.
Roethlisberger is a step above Rick James. Come on.
So he played an excellent game, but that's all you're getting out of me.
I have to say, take slight exception, Russell Wilson and Roethlisberger is a Hall of Famer. I'm sorry. Russell Wilson, he's on that track.
Yeah.
He's better than Jameis. Now, would I take Jameis over present-day Carson Palmer? Yeah. I think Carson Palmer's hit the wall. I think he's done.
I think, Steve, a big difference going just quickly on this game. We don't want to delve too much into it. But they're stepping up in terms of the quarterback that they're facing. Russell Wilson is on a different level than Alex Smith.
Oh.
You think so?
And Jay Cutler. You know, and Colin Kaepernick. You know, it's just it.
Sideshow Bob.
So, you know, when they play Matt Ryan, you know, Matt Ryan gets his numbers. Matt Ryan, you know. So this is Russell Wilson. He's about as good as you get in the NFC. So that's a tall challenge.
All right, Ira. One thing we said we wanted to touch on, and I know we've talked about it, is the what Lee and I are calling the Jamesburg Address.
Okay.
Now this was delivered.
You guys have been all over that thing. All over that.
Jameis last Wednesday at practice. After practice, he taped a note in everyone's locker. It was a 1-page note. Levante David told me typed up. And Jameis ran it by Coach Cutter. He was going to Cutter was like, "Hey, well, this is great. Why don't you share it before the Bears game?" And he was like, "Oh, Coach Cutter, we're gonna beat the Bears, and then I'll save it for the Kansas City
Look
week."
Confidently, look at the confidence.
This moved a lot of guys on the team. Levante David told me he took it home. He read it a couple of times, and was it's all on JoeBucksFan.com. So
he must have moved Chris Conte too, because. You know, we haven't seen number 23 like this the last couple of weeks.
Well, I don't know how much he moved Levante David. He must have been thinking about that letter for the first three quarters of the game.
But it's an extraordinary move by a young quarterback.
So have you been around? What do you think? You ever hear of that stuff in your 75 years covering the NFL?
DeKemper, he's killing me, DeKemper. Now look, you guys hear me every time I'm on with a serious radio with the Mad Dog. You guys don't miss a trick. Every time I'm on with Eric Casilius. And Lee, I'm counting on you here.
Who's the hell's
haven't,
that?
Haven't I
know
been,
he is.
Lee,
kidding,
haven't
kidding.
I been very, very consistent every time somebody asks me about Winston and I say
genuine
his passion for the game is off the charts.
You usually
I
use
say
the word
it
genuine.
All
yeah.
the time. Uh-huh. Genuine, the passion for the game. Steve, he'd play for nothing. Now, you wouldn't work for nothing. I know you too well. but Winston approaches this like it's a little kid's game in the sandlot, Lee. Mm-hmm. There's something very refreshing about it. Another thing I say all the time, and I think this goes to the letter, Steve, is
the Jamesburg Address.
Last year, I watched his effect on the Logan Mankins and the Vincent Jacksons, mm-hmm. the salty veterans. They've played in big games. They've seen it all. And
They were genuinely moved by being around Winston. Yeah. They were refreshed by being around
Rejuvenated.
Winston. Rejuvenated. Good one, my man. Pithy. Pithy comment. And Steve, I think it all goes together. You can't fake it because these players will see through it. You can't fake it. Number two, you better play well if you're going to take a leadership role. Mm-hmm. And he's playing out of his mind right now, which is a beautiful thing for Buck fans. And the guy is a natural leader, and he's not shirking away from it. Mm-hmm. And Gerald McCoy, to his credit, Steve, knows he's not the face of the franchise. It's number three now, and he's okay with that. And he should be.
You're talking about Jameis's enthusiasm, and there's a video on Buccaneers.com. They just put it up last night. I can't remember what they call it, but basically it's a look back behind the scenes. They do it every week. I can't remember what it's called, but at any rate, the video opens. You know, Jameis was talking about, if you want to expand on this, it's pretty cool. You know, the Chiefs fans, they hijacked the Florida State war chant some years ago. And early in the game, the Chiefs fans are going with their tomahawk chop. Jameis is right there with him on the bench. He's like, oh, like that. And he's chopping, and he's all fired up. It's great, man.
You know, guys, you were at the game. Gentlemen, and I'm a little jealous that you were. But
can I say the halftime spread was deplorable.
Deplorable.
But deplorable. The company was good. Lenny Dawson.
There you go. Now, hold on, gentlemen.
I haven't gotten out to eat after a game in years.
You were starving.
I was starving.
Steve, did you guys see a graphic? Now, I thought it was a mistake. I absolutely thought that can't be right about Winston. But it turned out, I believe it is right. He has either thrown or run for a touchdown in every game since he was a sophomore in high school.
Wow. Well.
And I looked at two games last year immediately. I went to the book, and there were, you know, three, four games last year where he didn't throw a touchdown pass, but he happened to run for a touchdown in those games. So I think it's accurate. He has either thrown or run for a touchdown in every – it's going back like 50 games. That is extraordinary.
Can I tell you my story for the listeners?
But you're still wrong, Isbeth.
You'll be jealous. The only good thing at halftime, and Steve's absolutely right, and years and years and years ago when I worked in Western Missouri, I did cover a couple of Chiefs games. Same kind of spread. The same spread they had back in 1990, they have now. They had some garbage barbecue chicken and hamburgers and at halftime hot dogs.
Where's the ribs? Where's the ribs, gentlemen? Where are they?
I guess Clark Hunt doesn't want to cut the check, I guess. So here's my story about halftime in the company. For listeners, will think it's pretty cool. At least I thought it was pretty cool. So I'm getting a bratwurst, minding my own business. I'm putting a bratwurst on the bun.
And meanwhile, Isbitz is getting a nice healthy salad, Lee. You need to mention that.
Exactly. He's getting a healthy salad. He can't wait to have a decent meal afterwards. And so this older gentleman with hair slicked back. I didn't recognize the guy at first. I recognized the voice, though. But this older gentleman, you know, about 70-ish, with hair slicked back, comes up to me unannounced. And he kind of starts a little wry smile on his face. And he points at the bratwurst. He goes, you know what's in those things? I'm like, yeah, I kind of, and I look up, it's Lenny Dawson, Hall of Famer. And immediately what came to mind was the iconic picture of him. I think it was Super Bowl I, where he's drinking a Fresca and smoking a cigarette at halftime.
I think you're right.
And I was like, wait a minute. And I didn't want to, you know, insult him. I said, wait a minute, the guy giving me nutrition advice is a guy that smokes a cigarette and drinks a Fresca?
And may I mention, he came out in the third quarter in that of a close game and threw an interception to Willie Wood that turned that whole game around, Isbitz. And I credit it all to that smoke and that drink over there.
Back in Super Bowl I, of course.
Who else is going to remember that, Isbitz?
Of course, you were at the
at the Dawn of Man episode from 2001 when the ape threw the thing and the bone in
say,
the air.
I was going to say you were at a sports restaurant with the infamous Muriel Berkowitz on your arm.
By the way, let me throw this out.
That's a great one.
That's a great one. Steve, you know, let's be fair. Winston was great last year, 4,000 yards. Mm-hmm. He's having a very good season. But let's give a little credit. Marcus Mariota is playing really well for Tennessee.
Come on, this is Joe
Bucks
fan.
Boo,
boo,
boo. Oh, no. Boo. I'm not saying I'd rather have Mariota, but they're both very good young quarterbacks.
We got 6 games to go.
There you go.
We'll see who's in the Pro Bowl, Mr. Kaplan.
Can we talk a little defense, Steven?
We could talk some defense.
Yes, Chris Conte. The rise of Conte. Sounds like a 70s science fiction movie.
Andy Reid fell on his sword, Steve, after the game and said that call was all on him, and he thought Conte would bite on some kind of a fake, and he didn't. Instead, he read the play. So, hey, let's give 23 credit, Lee. He's made big plays 2 straight weeks.
Did you see Reed's press conference, or did you just
read? That was Reed's press conference.
Yeah, well, he almost, it came across to me like he was insinuating Connie screwed up on the play. He's like, everything we've seen.
I think he was trying to say that.
And
yes.
I did write that on JoeBucksFan.com on Monday morning that to listen to Reed, Connie screwed up.
Well, they saw on film that he should have been somewhere else, and he wasn't.
This is a very interesting. It was a hot topic on Kansas City Sports Radio on Monday morning. And the take from the flip side was they took it as Andy Reid was telling Alex Smith he's not going to bite, or he's going to bite on the fake.
Yes.
There's no chance he's not going to bite.
And you're going to throw that
ball. So as soon as you count your 1, 2, 3, fire that ball no matter what.
He gave him no option.
And he had no out.
I think that's right.
So the take on Kansas City Sports Radio was, why the hell have we drafted a quarterback? Excuse me. Why have we traded 2 second-round picks for a quarterback, paid him $17 million a year, and the guy can't even check off and think for himself?
Outstanding. And he's a very heady quarterback,
so
Alex
Smith. What really happened, we don't know. But, of course, in Kansas City, Ira, you know, I listen to a lot of sports radio out there. They're in stunned disbelief that...
I think that's a great point, Steve. No matter what the coverage was, that ball was going to be thrown.
Sunday night, I'll let Steve finish this up, but Sunday night I was watching on NBC affiliate. They have like a panel discussion. They have 2 sports radio guys and a coach, or a columnist, I should say. One guy is a coach and a radio guy. Former chief, and they were destroying Reed for this very thing, what Steve's talking about. I mean, they were destroying Andy Reid about this.
They were a bit stunned that this season overall, Alex Smith hasn't been running the football, and they feel that that's the loss of the Doug Peterson influence, and now Andy Reid's in charge, doesn't want him running. But the way this ties to the Bucs is Dirk Cutter was on his radio show basically saying that, no, we barely blitzed at all against Smith because we were concerned about his scrambling ability, even though he hasn't done it much this season.
Keep him in the pocket.
And to follow that up, I'm going to write about it by the time everyone here. Well, I'll write about it tomorrow on JoeBuckFan.com. Cutter said that on that note, that we didn't blitz much and we were doing more coverage and worried about his running and containing Smith. The front four of the Bucs needs to do a hell of a lot more. This is Cutter's words in rushing the passer, because the Bucs had no sacks, no pressure, no nothing, and they still won the game, which is fantastic.
No question about it. You know, my problem, if I'm a Chiefs fan, Lee, you know what bothers me?
You are a Chiefs fan. What are you talking about?
They rely so much on generating takeaways that they're spoiled, and they don't take their shots. And the funny thing is, when they took a couple of shots, they hit them against the Bucs. But Reed is very conservative.
You took the word out of my mouth.
They don't think Smith has the arm maybe to test these people. And I remember the playoff game against the Patriots last year where the Chiefs were just very passive, very passive. And on both sides of the ball, I was very disappointed. And they didn't take their shots against the Bucs. Now, having said that, the Bucs secondary is starting to play well, Lee. It's starting to play well. Even Verner, Lee, let's admit it. Now, he got burned once. He did. But he also had a couple of nice pass breakups where he was aggressively right on top of the guy instead of giving him 10 yards. I thought that was a much different scheme that Smith was employing, or has been employing now maybe for the past couple of weeks, than the passive approach we've seen in the past, Steve. I see Mike Smith changing his approach there.
I love Altron Verner as a person. He's a stand-up guy. He's always willing to talk. He's refreshingly honest, if not candid. I'm withholding judgment. He didn't play against the Bears. The Chiefs, they don't have that any kind of decent receivers. And Macklin was out. Macklin was the only real threat.
Yep.
So going up against Doug Baldwin is going to be a different animal.
I understand.
And so for me, the jury is still out if Altron Verner has been reborn
Grimes,
or not.
Grimes could be back. Steve, Grimes could be
back.
Yeah,
Miko reported on her Twitter feed, wrote this up today. He only has a contusion, a.k.a. bruise. There is no pulled quad muscle, according to Miko.
Well, if Miko's talking about Brent's groin, I got to believe what Miko's saying, Steve. You know,
well,
at this
point.
I have no comment.
No comment. This is a no-holds-barred podcast.
Well, it is. If the podcast was not presented by our fantastic friends at Edmore's Cadillac Tampa and Edmore's Cadillac Brandon, I would read to you the whole tweet from Miko regarding the thigh contusion.
I've never seen DeKemper at a loss for words like this, Steven.
But it was very, very colorful. But she says thigh contusion, of course, I believe it. No reason not to, which is great news.
Am I reading too much, or is Noah Spence starting to make some plays, Steve? And some rather big plays.
I think
plays.
You're reading too much.
Oh, see, there's the disagreement already,
well,
Lee.
Noah Spence is starting to make plays in a run game to a degree, where that was not his forte. That's why he wasn't playing much earlier in the season. Now it's not like he's completely lost out there. If that's what you're referring to, I'll agree with you. Is he standout? No, not yet. No.
This is a big challenge Sunday because I just think Wilson, you know, you use the word great, Steve. Wilson's great.
Well, their offensive
Wilson's
line.
Great.
Seattle's
offensive line is not very good.
So they better get some pressure.
Yeah, you know, it's a big weekend. And to go to what you said about the Bucs secondary, you know, look, they're playing a West Coast, played a West Coast offense against the Chiefs, and they're only rushing four. So, of course, you got to play man on the guys back there. And Werner was okay. But did he have great competition? No. But at least he was ready. Got to give the guy a lot of credit. He hasn't hung his head since he's been benched for since
you're
week
right.
two.
You're right.
You know, and
don't forget Jimmy Graham also is out there. Elite. That's mm-hmm. another big boy.
And in a fantastic, almost funny compliment, Dirk Cutter called Werner the Evan Smith of the defense. So I'm not sure what that's what we were looking for when they paid him all that money. But
maybe he means he's a good teammate.
No, he meant that he's ready.
He's ready, you know,
he was ready.
Available.
He's prepared.
Next
he's
man up.
And he's a professional.
Prepared.
And, you know, Bucks are lucky to have him right
By the way, the kicker didn't have a bad game either, Stephen. And I believe that made Jason Light smile perhaps almost as much as the victory itself did.
I'm sure. I mean, look, the guy.
You know,
on
we're
a
not
roll.
Talking about him.
He's
Steve.
On a roll. He's no longer the worst kicker in the
and
NFL.
And it was a terrible day for kickers around the league, Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible day.
But to what Cutter said, and people tried to make this a story. Oh, you know, Aguayo kicked in adverse weather. It was crisp. It was actually
invigorating.
Anyway, I'm starting to get like Chris Rosu here. No, it was nice. It was crisp. It was. It was comfortable. It wasn't cold. I mean, it was chilly, but it wasn't cold. It was nice. And someone asked, I can't remember who, it might have been someone with the Kansas City Star, was trying to build up, like, oh, you know, Aguayo, these Arctic conditions and the wind and whatnot. And Cutter's like, wait. Kansas City, Thanksgiving week, this is beautiful weather.
But he's striking the ball with authority, Steve. It's not fading towards the goal post. He's making crisp contact.
Look, he's kicking well. That you know, there are five. I had it on JoeBucksFan.com. I don't remember offhand, but I think it was there are five NFL kickers starters still employed who have missed three extra points this year. So five guys have missed three. Well, Aguayo's only missed two. He's fixed that. He's on a roll with the field goals. I mean, he could end this season. If you think about it, he could end this season as an average NFL kicker, which would. For his first
coming
year,
from where
we'll
he
take
came from.
Yeah. We'll take
yeah.
it. We'll
yeah.
take it.
The Bucks need him because, Lee, they play close games.
They do.
When they win close.
Yeah. You know. Well, he's missed one field goal in the last four games. Is that correct?
I think that's right.
Now, he still doesn't have one from 50-plus. We really don't know his range. He's only 50% from 40 or more, which is second worst in the NFL. So he's got a lot to prove, but the evidence looks like he might be able to get there. I'd love to see this guy get a shot. Cutter turned down a shot to give him a 54-yard field goal.
Well, he's not known for the big leg, Lee. He wasn't
never
known
has
for
been.
It in Florida State.
Well,
Steve?
We don't. But point is, we don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know. And they did invest a second-round pick for him. Yeah, there's also out there, obviously, he could get stronger. I mean, he's 22 years old. I don't think he reached his peak strength at Florida State at 21. So we'll see. We'll see. Now, Ira.
I can't wait to talk about my next column for Joe Bucks fan, by the way, Steven.
So
I can't wait.
You got a column coming out tomorrow, early tomorrow. And
different.
What you got?
Now, look, Steve, you know, I'm not naive. Most of our listeners probably weren't. Either they weren't around or they weren't living in the Bay Area.
Is this more of a 73 Chiefs?
In 1976.
Another Ed Podolak.
When the Bucks regalus. And the Seahawks began play. But there is a show that is going to be on Wednesday night, 8 o'clock. It's 1 hour. NFL Network. It's on the Timeline. That's the name of the presentation. They do different shows. And this is going to be about the origins of the Tampa Bay Bucks. Often comical. Often tragic. And in typical NFL Network style, Steve, I don't like their panel shows. I think their analysts are terrible. But when they do, you know, a Football Life or something like that, it's first class.
NFL Films is wonderful.
They spend a lot of money, Steve, and they go wherever they have to go. And that's what they did with this broadcast.
Sure.
I've seen the excerpts. That's going to fuel my column. They talked to Steve Spurrier. They talked to David Lewis, Parnell Dickinson, the quarterback of the 76 Bucks.
Mark Cotney.
Mark Cotney, Leonard Levy, who helped bring the franchise to Tampa. Gale Searance. They got everybody under the sun.
You're forgetting
Dick Crippen is in there.
You're forgetting the most famous brother in Buccaneers history.
Dewey Selvin?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's on there. So, and they have tremendous footage. Whatever, for whatever reason, there's great footage on the 76 Bucks. Because I think NFL Films did a story about the 76 Bucks. You know, even before they went 0-14, they wanted to do the birth of a franchise. So they got all this
birth
behind,
of a franchise.
You know, they got pictures of Culver House, you know, talking to people. Ron Wolf's on there, Hall of Fame executive. He was with the Bucks in 76. And he talks about how everybody was over, you know, they got a first-year owner, a first-year executive in Wolf, and a first-year NFL head coach in McKay. He goes, that's a recipe for disaster, turned out to be. It's a great show. And I ended up talking to Leonard Levy at a Buck game a couple of weeks ago, and I talked to the producer of this show by phone last week. And so
nice.
I've got a nice little tease for our listeners
great.
Going into that show. It's a lot of fun, and they will see where this franchise has come from. And you know, I just want to give this little a capper to it. I asked Leonard Levy. I go, Leonard, how would you sum up 40 years of Buccaneer football? And Levy looked at me, and he's a classic character. And he goes, Kaufman, a lot of losing. And, you know, we'll see. I mean, the Bucs are 5-5. We've been in a fallow period, Lee.
Fallow?
Fallow, I believe.
F-A-L-L-O-W?
I like to call out your last week was Wangle.
I don't think Wangle's a word.
No, it is. It is a word.
I thought it was Wrangle.
No, don't listen to the commenters.
See, I thought you said foul earlier.
No, I believe it's fallow. It's been a fallow period. It's like a field, you know, full of weeds.
Right. Well, exactly.
You know. Here you go. Since you've referenced this, and we do read your tweets.
There you go.
And I know you said it was almost like you were homesick on a tweet you had last week about Gale Searance. You brought up Gale Searance. I trust that this program you're lauding.
I'm touting, yeah. Yeah.
Touting, okay.
Yes,
has sultry Jen Lee in it.
No, Jen Lee didn't make the cut, Steve, because she wasn't even born in 76. Gale Searance was, and she knows a lot about Buck football, Gale Searance.
All right.
Unlike the three of us.
For our younger audience, I wanted to tell a quick story from Kansas City. You know, obviously, Lee and I at the game go down to the locker room. Finish up down there.
A jubilant locker room.
Extremely jubilant Bucks locker room, of course. You know, after a win like that, and so we're getting back into the elevator to go up to the press box.
Oh, this is good.
And of course, you know how it is when it's busy, when there's a lot of commotion in a stadium. They don't exactly have the biggest elevators known to man in old Arrowhead. Everybody crams in the elevator, you know, and then they have to hold it for the next crowd.
That's right.
Well, Lee and I just happened to be crammed tight like troubled sardines in the elevator with the entire Chiefs, or at least a good chunk of them, Chiefs cheerleading crew.
Why was I going to guess that? that, you know.
And there's an even better one. When Steve finishes, there's a better one.
I passed out from the fruity smells of the post-showered cheerleaders or whatever they were doing, so I don't remember much after that. But it was an interesting experience. And Lee noted, you know how Lee sets up our game day post on JoeBucksFan.com that sort of previews the game ahead.
He had a heck of a picture and, going into that game.
Well, the young lady in the picture was right next to Lee in the elevator, so he was mesmerized.
Yeah, I mentioned to Steve.
Did you mention that you made her famous?
No, I didn't say anything, but I didn't know how she did. She looked forlorn.
Because
the Chiefs were upset. But I mentioned to Steve, I said, she has no idea she graced our pages today.
Did she know that your two characters were from the Bay Area?
Yeah, I'm sure she didn't even know we were in the elevator, although she might have been forlorn if she was smelling my breath. That was kind of funny.
Steve, tell a quick story before we go about, and I asked you today, did Jason Light jump in his family heated pool after he got back, after a momentous victory against the Chiefs? And you told me absolutely not.
Yeah, absolutely not. This is a big story on JoeBucksFan.com. Ira, you got to get up on your reading. You missed it. We broke the big news that Jason Light.
I thought this was a custom.
No, he hasn't jumped in the pool, to the best of my knowledge, since opening day. And Mr. Light let me know that he decided that pool jumping is old news at this point. He wants to reserve that type of celebration, that public celebration, for monumental victories such as getting into the playoffs.
Would a Sunday win over Seattle qualify, Steve?
I don't think so, but he did reserve the right to do it for a special occasion, or if somebody insists that he do it. But I think it's done. Light is just trying to up the game a little bit and the perception value. He started it initially, Ira, because he told his kids or his son asked him or something in that line last year, hey, if we win, we should all jump in the pools. He said, sure, and they did it. But at this point, it's over.
You think the biggest issue in that regard is that maybe DeKemper would come over and do a belly flop? Is that possible that
there
would be concerns over that?
No, I don't think so, but actually Light told me, he told me last week against the Bears, he actually had, and it wasn't last week against the Bears, no, it was, he had a prearranged agreement with Raheem Morris after, if the Bucs beat the Falcons, that Light was going to consider that a high-level victory, but only if he could jump in Raheem's pool and share that it was Raheem's pool at his house in Tampa.
It didn't happen.
That's a little behind the scenes stuff. As you can see, Lee and I leave no stone unturned. Two quick things.
Whoa. I think our readers, our listeners should know one thing, Steve. To be fair, should the Bucs get a signature win Sunday against Seattle, DeKemper is on, he's on record saying he will run through the fountains.
No.
At Curtis Hickson Park,
no.
Late Sunday night of about 9:30, and I just want our fans to be ready.
Here's what I'm on record. I will not do that. But here's what I'm on record. Here's what I'm on record for. And unfortunately, few if any of our listeners will see it. But I told Roy Cummings weeks ago. Heck, I might have even told him last year. If the Bucks ever make a playoff game, I will wear a coat and tie at a game.
Ooh! Now I'm really going to be rooting for the Bucks to get that race to 10, Stephen.
To go back, just to rewind, reset real quick, Ira, before we wrap up your podcast, as I spit out my ice.
We'll have another one on Thursday.
A little programming note. We'll be recording your Thursday Thanksgiving podcast tomorrow at One Buck Palace, and we'll get it up right there first thing Thursday morning so everybody can enjoy it before they have to deal with their family. They can listen to you after a busy day at One Buck. Of course, your podcast is available right on joebucksfan.com. You could subscribe on iTunes where you've made a move, Ira. If you search if you go to podcasts on the iStore on iTunes and search Bucks, you and Justin Pulaski is Bucks Uncensored. You're now the top five. You're right in there. What comes up first?
Whoa.
So you've made a move. You've passed Greg Allman of the Times podcast. You've passed the Tampa Bay Times.
Lee, what does that mean? Does that mean in terms of how many people are tuning in?
Yeah, they don't give you exact details, but as far as the what comes up in the search is the ones that are most popular.
What this means is you're the custodian of Canton. That's
I got Pulaski means. Right in my sights, DeKemper. Right in my sights.
It's going to be
and
tough.
I don't use four-letter words, gentlemen.
Exactly.
But you think them, though.
Although I had a groin reference to Miko. I understand.
Now, before we sign off, I got to say this. What made this road trip enjoyable, at least for me, and I don't know if Steve will agree or not, but the burnt ends, I had burnt ends Sunday evening with Steve, then the next day at Joe's Barbecue, the infamous Joe's Barbecue in Kansas City, Kansas. Burnt ends washed down with a local popular product known as Boulevard Pale Ale. That's living.
This is Jack Stacks?
Jack Stacks was Sunday night, and Saturday, or excuse me, Monday, I flew back Monday. Monday, I went to Joe's Barbecue in Kansas City. Anthony, I'm going to butcher the last name, Burdain.
Yeah,
there
yeah,
we go.
Yeah.
He claims that's one of the top 10 restaurants you have to try before you die.
Steve, it's all about food with DeKemper. You notice that?
Of course.
It always circles back to what's on the plate.
Well, it's part of experiencing a community.
Yes.
It's food.
Yes, you got to experience the community. So those burnt ends washed down with a Boulevard Pale Ale, that's living.
Oh, that's sweet.
I'll say, I'm more of a sushi and dark beer kind of guy, but I will drink, of course, I love drinking the Joe Bucks fan Jason Light Ale, which has very nice starfruit undertones.
You know what? That is very good ale. It really is.
But excellent burnt ends at Jack's.
How are we going to sign off, Steve? How are we going to do it?
We're going to sign off. First, I'm going to say, I wasn't knocking Noah Spence earlier. I want to clarify. If you go back and look at the film, Ira, if you watch the game again, he had three solo tackles. Two of them, guys are dragging him down the field. And he's not making big plays.
I thought he made a play on third down. I thought he did make one play on third down.
He might have made one play on third down. But we need to see better before we put him in a class. And hopefully we will. He's 10 games into his career. He's got 4 sacks. He's playing with a bad shoulder. We're all good. But your podcast, of course, Ira, is fantastic. And everybody, Tuesdays and Thursdays, the Ira Kaufman podcast. Go to iTunes, leave Ira a review the podcast, say what you think, what you don't like. Got a few of them up there.
Maybe we get a question or two for Thursday's podcast, Steve.
Maybe. I'll solicit the people again. I'm not sure. I like to keep it to you, you know, the people. But the people need to be able to reach out to you. They love you, and they need you.
Lee, that Noah Spence reference, maybe he takes a little bit of a D Ford emergence where it took D Ford a year or two to emerge. D Ford wasn't anything as a
He's in his third year, right?
Yeah. And Ford's now a force. So I could see a parallel there.
Rarely do rookie defensive ends shine. Rarely. I think I know I did a story about this at some point in the past few months, but I think you have to go back 10 years before a rookie defensive end
had
double digits.
How about
the kid
on Atlanta? Steve, he didn't do much as a rookie. And this year he's looking good.
Yeah, I mean, that's the norm. Rookie defensive ends generally don't shine.
Vic Beasley's come out.
He's broken
through this year. But they've also moved him back to linebacker, a different scheme, a little bit different situation. But yeah, I mean, look, Noah Spence, so far, okay. And you know, I don't think he's off track.
Vernon Hargraves,
I don't think he's off track.
Okay,
Hargraves,
okay.
You know, he doesn't have a pick yet. But we'll see. Give him the full season, then we can assess. But okay, so far.
Holding he did have that fantastic play against Carolina that set up a pick. That was wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Ira Kaufman podcast in the books. We will see you on the podcast Thursday.